Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Everton Fan Focus podcast. Tonight we are discussing Farhad Moshiri's first year at Goodison Park. The majority shareholder came on board last February, and since then there's been a lot of developments, both on the pitch and off it. Tonight, myself, the other Mark and Seddo are going to discuss them.
We are.
Lads, bit of an overview. Happy with how things have gone?
Yeah, a quiet, steely, precise determination to move this club forward has now been introduced at a boardroom level. Ambition has not been, it's not Vegas, but it's like, you know, it's ominous in what's happening at Everton. And quotes from Joe Anderson saying there's a revolution going on that the media are blissfully unaware of, and everyone else. It just makes it all the more mouthwatering what's happening with Everton, you know. I think it's been great, what we've been crying out for a long time.
Seddo?
Fantastic stuff, isn't it, so far, you know, a year down the line. I think this time last year, if you'd have said we were this far down the line as we are now, off the pitch, I think everyone would have went, you know what, we're moving forward.
Yeah.
But I think to add what's going on the pitch into that mix makes it even better for me.
Yeah.
Bringing in the right personnel for the team, not just for the 11, but for the squad and the club as a whole. Getting the right people on board at boardroom level. And I know Robert Elstone's taken a lot of stick, but obviously I think Farhad Moshiri must think highly of him to keep him and make him one of the directors there as well. So, you know, everyone's got a different opinion on him. And
yeah,
you know, my personal opinion on him, I don't really like the man. You know, I don't think he's good for the club. But at the same time, you know, who are we to sort of argue with Farhad Moshiri, who's ploughing absolute millions and millions into the club? So yeah, you know, 12 months down the line, you know, I don't think we could have asked for any more.
Agree. Again, I echo those sentiments, and I think he was what Everton needed. He was what Bill Kenwright needed, and he was
absolutely
what us supporters needed.
Yeah.
And although people may look at it and be like, well, there's not been anything significant in development terms, in terms of he's not going to turn up and start signing players for 40 million, you know, your Robinho type esque,
yeah,
what's happened with Man City. I do believe the project that Moshiri's put together and that is ongoing is a positive one, and I'm really,
yeah,
really positive about it. More positive about off-field things at Everton than I've ever been before. So,
I think with Farhad Moshiri, and when you look at Man City, I think a lot of things can be learned from how Man City went about it.
Yeah,
you know, they automatically just started throwing money at it left, right and centre, which, you know, they probably can't afford to do.
Yeah.
You know, we're not in that ballpark as yet. But a lot of stuff can be learned from Man City. You know, we alluded to it in the last podcast, and, you know, keeping the core values of Everton,
yeah,
is a massive thing. And I
absolutely
think, I think Bill Kenwright's probably hammered that home to Farhad Moshiri as well. You know, it's all right throwing money at it, but we need to keep our identity and our core values within there.
But I think that's, yeah, why Kenwright's still there as well.
Mm. Well, maybe for the first time ever in that guy's history, he's actually proving some use now, because there's now he's not in charge of running the club, really, is he? You know, Moshiri's got the reins. And the guys, I can't believe I'm actually praising Bill Kenwright, but maybe his enthusiasm for the club, which clearly is there, and his know-how, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Maybe the emotion of the guy is helping
well, it resonates with
well. I'm sure people understand what what I'm trying to say is maybe that's added with a bit of business acumen for once is going
to with a little bit of history, if you
yeah, a little bit of history.
It resonates with Mashiri though as well.
Yeah, but he now there's a guy who's a doer, not a talker, and so we can let the talking guy talk and help to do it. So that's what probably the worst thing I've ever said on this podcast, but I hope it makes sense.
No, it's not.
No.
But it's probably the most complimentary you've been, if that's even a word. Complimentary?
Yeah.
Complimentary towards Bill Kenwright than you've ever been. But
yeah,
you know, let's not look back on the past 16, 17 years. Let's not look at that. Let's look at the 12 months that have just been. Okay. Farhad Mashiri came in. You're in the know, Seddo. You didn't know about him, did you? There's about 1,000 in the nose of Evertonians out there. Apparently we're being bought by Americans one minute. The next thing, this Iranian billionaire from Arsenal strolls in and buys 49% worth of a stake in the club.
Yeah.
And it came out the blue, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
And it was a year ago.
Yeah.
We're still on the ale since, aren't we?
We're still enjoying it more often as well, mate. The pints are going down quicker, you know. What I've absolutely loved is there was no... There's a real methodical approach to what's been going on behind the scenes, you know. There's been no sense of they will do things at their own pace. They're going to get us there where we need to get. And there's been fan hysteria about a poor window here, a poor window there, and stuff. But you know, we have improved right throughout that period. You know, even if it's getting rid of players that we don't want anymore, you know, there's a real clear. You've got to be blind as a bat to see that there's no plan at Everton now. It's the emphasis is on youth, on vibrancy, on quality, on the best youth in the land. We're taking players. I love the Luckman signing. Said it all for me. He was the best talent in League One. There was no arsing about. We just went in and got him, and it didn't matter what the price was. 11 million quid for a League One player. People would, Evertonians especially, would say. You know, but at the time, you know, we're just taking the best talent around and adding it to our squad. I just love the whole emphasis on vibrancy, on clearing out. We don't want to appear stale. We don't want to be stale. We want to be on the up and competitive and youthful and dynasty building. And that's what's screaming out of this era. Sorry. I've been aching to get it out. That's what's screaming about Mashiri is that. Long lasting.
I'm not laughing
success.
At you, I'm laughing because it's a new Mark Ellis.
It's a new Everton.
Yeah,
it's a new Everton. It's a new me, quite literally.
But Mark since he come in, though, said that he's had some decisions to make as well. Mm. Let's be honest, you know, his first 3 months were quite tricky in terms of the management of the club, and the decision was made just hours before the end of season awards to get rid of Martinez. Let's not forget how much Roberto Martinez was paid to be sacked at Everton.
Yeah.
Let's not forget how much Ronald Koeman was paid to be appointed. It's gone on from there, hasn't it?
I think his first 3 months, you know, as the majority shareholder, was always going to be a bit of a rocky patch because he had to settle an always rocky ship. You know, he had to appease the fans who were on the back of the board from, you know, for the past God knows how long. And, you know, it was always going to be tricky. And then you add into the factor of Martinez wasn't producing the goods for the team.
No.
You know, he had a really tough season. So from that point of view, to have a rocky 3 months, in my opinion, was always probably going to be the case.
Yeah.
His first massive decision obviously was to get rid of Martinez, and it proves to be the right decision.
100%.
12 months down the line, so you know he's not a billionaire for nothing. He makes these decisions in life every day.
Yeah.
Hires and fires people probably every day of the year, you know, for 365 days. So
he's ruthless.
He's
you don't get to be a billionaire by not being.
But that's the thing, though. He's ruthless, but he's ruthless with a plan and a team behind him of businessmen, corporate people who know what to do and how to plan a business, how to grow that business, and how to move it forward within a short space of time, which he has done over the past 12 months.
Yeah, 100%. The first 3 months were like he had to do a lot of the ugly stuff the fans don't see. The fans just want instant signings and stadium announcements and stuff like that, you know, to represent what we want as a fan base. But that guy cleared the debt that is straight away, pretty much, give us an £80 million loan that he's not asked about us paying back, quite clearly. A lot of ugly stuff had to go on, so he was on a hiding to nothing from the word go because of the 16 years where we haven't had no investment. And people thought, well, there he is, so let's see the money right away. He's had to sweep up a lot of mess from the previous regime. So, and now we're starting to see the fruits of a clear-minded Everton and a deferee Everton.
Which, some of what you just said there, it grates on me, the fact that people get restless about Mashiri's spending and about stadium announcements and about player signings. Mm. And about this and about that and about not signing Gabby Adini and this and that. And, you know, let's be honest, it happens on a daily basis whereby a lot of people have sat silent for a lot of number of years and just been happy to make do.
Yeah.
And, yeah, of course, Mashiri's money is a lot different to Bill Kenwright and Peter Johnson's money.
Yeah.
But people have been happy to settle.
Yeah. It's and a I fan mean, mentality.
It's certainly in terms of a mentality for what's put in front of them, but also for what they demand. Whereas now, that money's come in. There's a modern day Premier League fan who sees a Chelsea and a Manchester City and say, revolution, overnight revolution.
Yeah.
Whereas with Everton, I think, and Farhad Mashiri, it's a more of a long term revolution. And because the likes of myself, you, got certain views on the press regime, which I won't dwell on, I'm a lot more patient towards the off-field side of it. And I'll wait 5 years if it means Everton have got a super stadium. And I'll wait for 5 years if it means Everton get back in the Champions League. Of course I want it to happen next season.
Yeah.
Of course I want us to sign a £40 million player, of course. But I'm realistic also.
Yeah.
And being against previous regimes is not being unrealistic. It's just having... It's opening your eyes to a lot of it. And I think with Mashiri now, we're not going to sit here now around the table and go, we're all businessmen. But
no,
it's clear to see that the slow steps we're making are on the journey to something big. And that's why I'm willing to give it time. Off-field, on the pitch, infrastructure, commercial, Finch Farm, sponsorship, council relationship, everything that we're going to probably talk about here now, I'm willing to give it time. And because... Mashiri's on board.
I think what you were saying there about you know, people pre Mashiri, people were settling for what they had in front of them. It's totally flipped on its head now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you've got that ambition and the passion and the planning, forward planning.
Yeah.
But as you say, you know, people years ago were almost like, oh yeah, you know, we'll finish 7th, we'll finish 8th, but
they were kind of told though, weren't they, lad, that was the way it was going to be.
But that went through to the media as well, didn't it? You know, we had seasons
best
there
the
where
best.
Yeah, it was almost like, you know, oh, Everton are punching above the weight. We're not going to get that now.
No,
because you've got the money behind you.
Yeah,
but we've also got the manager talking that's not acceptable. We've got the owner, you know, clearly. I just love what's going on. I love the fact that no matter what else, for the first time in a long, long time, there's a clear ambition behind what's going on at Everton to retain us to the very top. I know all we're talking about now is top four. Well, that's all we can talk about because we haven't been in top four for 2004, 13 years ago. You know.
So we've mentioned there that he got rid of Martinez, a major decision. It was a decision that had to be made, that probably could have been made a lot earlier. But fair enough, he came on board in the February. Martinez was sacked in the April, was it?
Yeah.
Since then, we've appointed Ronald Koeman and Steve Walsh, which hasn't come cheap.
Nope.
We've basically gone to Southampton, who have finished above us the past 2 years.
Yeah.
A progressive club, shall we say, in terms of the managerial skills and player talent that they generate, yeah?
Yeah.
We've plucked their manager and we've gone to the English champions and plucked their head of recruitment. And we've been in that much of an attractive proposition to Steve Walsh that he's been willing to leave them and come to us.
Yeah.
Number two things that happened in the first 2, 3, 4 months of Farhad Mashiri's involvement at Everton.
An emphasis on infrastructure. So the whole system was not geared to get Everton where he wants them to get. So he's now, you know, scrambled up what was gone before, threw it away. And we start from, that's what you've got to love, the methodical approach, the clear, right, this is the way we're going to do it and this is the way we're going to get there. And that's through player recruitment and the best, so we're going to get the best recruiter in the land. Then we've got all kinds of, like, we're pinching, you know, we're pinching scouts from major clubs now who are working for us. The emphasis is on getting them right players in. And probably at the best rates as well, do you know what I mean? So it's not, there's a clear desire to get us where we need to get, and they've mapped out a plan for us and how we're going to get there. And Steve Walsh is a massive part of that, you know. And it's going to, like Heumann said, we've already got rid of so much shite in that squad, and now we've got good quality, amazing quality youth coming through, and added to a few signings, stick Rooney in that. He talks complete sense. Why shouldn't we be challenging the top four next season? We've already got a good team, building on confidence week on week. It's never going to go down now. With you know, I hope it won't. You know,
I like the way he started the project. If you're the buzzword project, he started the project in the background. He started off getting the right people in the right positions to deal with the things that need dealing with. So. One, the financial side of it, as we all know.
Yeah.
We weren't great where we were finances. Now, you know, we've got, I think it's the Russian fella who deals with all the business accounts for Everton.
Oh, yeah, Rice Ansel. Yeah.
So to have him on board and fixing the books that needed fixing, and then he's gone to the next stage and went, right, what do we need now? Okay, we need a head scout. Gone and got the top head scout from Leicester. Now what do we need? We need a top manager. So it's gone from the background, and it's slowly coming through to the fore.
Yeah.
You know, so the building blocks are there.
So we're starting to see that bear fruit in the first team.
Absolutely.
And then you look at, you know, we can talk about player signings, the commercial deals, the makeover of Goodison, the stadium project. We'll come to all them things gradually as we go through. But in terms of player signings, it's quite ironic that on the back of this podcast we've just seen David Moyes come to Goodison Park, who, let's be honest, he was a master of plucking your Phil Jagielka's, your Tim Cahill's, the most two famous Everton players of the past decade, you could probably say, two of which, bringing them in on a shoestring and making them into Premier League international players as well, and players who would be remembered at Everton. On a budget, he was on a budget. Walter Smith was.
Yeah.
Sell to buy policy.
He was a bit loose.
Mentality. Some people may say that still remains. You know, we just sold John Stones for £50 million. We sold Marouane Fellaini for £30 million.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, Premier League sides sell players. Well, not unfortunately, but you sell
that
your best
players. Across the park are well famous for it.
Well.
Any good player the place
they've spent they've spent a trillion and they're playing centre-halves. They're playing centre-mids at centre-half. But we won't go there with that one.
Can't wait, because I've been having so much fun.
Should get Carragher back in, shouldn't we? Really?
But that, again, sorry, player recruitment. Ronald Koeman's identifying targets.
Yeah.
And he's given the funds to do it.
Yeah.
Fair enough, we missed out on a couple. You know, we went in for that Koulibaly.
Yeah.
Went in for Gabbiadini, amongst others. But we got Garner Guy. We got Bolasie. We got Ashley Williams, captain of Swansea.
Yeah.
We brought in Stefan Berg. We've bought Morgan Schneiderlin. We've brought Adamola Lukman. And I'm sure there's probably a couple I've missed off there. Yeah. We've got a couple of loans. But don't forget, 2-3 years ago, we were called Everloan. We signed Gerard Delafoe, Romelu Lukaku, who were coming as a stopgap for Everton.
Yeah.
Now we're loaning out Gerard Delafoe.
Yeah, that says it all.
And Lukaku's our top scorer.
Yeah. AC Milan are taking our fringe players off us. So that tells you everything you need to know about where we're going.
So this is the difference. Player signings, I'm fully confident that if Ronald Koeman says, I want to go out tomorrow and buy X, Y and Z, then Farhad Moshiri will give him the materials to go and buy X, Y and Z.
Yeah.
If X, Y and Z don't see Everton as an attractive proposition because of location, because of European involvement, etc., there's nothing we can do about that. We can offer wages, we can meet the fee and let them decide. Liverpool have found that.
Yeah.
United and City have found that with players going to Tottenham, Arsenal, Chelsea in the past, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a big thing for me, feeling confident going into transfer windows as well. Yeah, we'll lose players.
And this is why if we can go back, the signing of Rooney, if we can get him, would be so much more, you know, important to us. Is that, it's, you know, Rooney is would help attract other players to the club, wouldn't he? You know,
it's a name though, isn't it? It's a name.
Yeah.
The thing is, if Koeman and Walsh think, no, we're going to make a serious play for Rooney, we're going to give him, all right, we'll go to 125 a week.
Yeah.
That we'll guy. I'm fully confident that Everton could get him. They could bend his ear. And if Walsh and his team and Koeman and his team think, yeah, it's a benefit to Everton, they're going to bring them in. And that goes for everyone else. It doesn't matter if it's a 19-year-old from League One, or it's a 29-year-old from League One in France.
Yeah.
If they feel,
kind of guy,
we've got the recruitment set up there now from the top to bottom, that I fully believe in what they're trying to achieve and the targets that they're identifying, 9 times out of 10 they're going to go out and get them because we've got the clout now.
Yeah.
But we have to get back up there amongst the so-called top four. We have to get that in the recognised places in the Premier League, because that will help with the fees, the wages and the attraction.
Totally agree. We've got, that's why like the likes of the Tottenham game is so important, you know, that we try and make a statement. We've got to try and claw one of them clubs down, whether it be Arsenal, who I think maybe hitting a lean period. Well, they're on a lean period anyway, but I think they could be the ones that we could get. Or, you know, we've got to start wanting to get above Tottenham again, you know.
That's finish above Arsenal, and then Usmanov.
We've got to finish above Arsenal.
We'll get to Usmanov in a minute.
Your mate, anyway.
Isn't he, said,
I'm still waiting for him.
Still waiting for that invite to the yacht, mate.
Just get us on the yacht, we're not going to have to wear anything else.
But just looking at the player signs, though, I think it's all right going to throw 30, 40, 50 million at a player, you know, if it does get to that point. But first and foremost, it's got to be a fit for Everton. The player's got to come into that team and make an impact straight away. If you're going to spend that amount of money on a player, you know, exactly like Morgan Schneider, we paid 30 million, 32 million for him.
In total. After add-ons. Yeah.
And he's made an impact straight away. So obviously, you know, we don't want to just go abroad and throw 50 million at a player. Yeah. As I say, he's got to come in and make that impact straight away.
Yeah.
So.
And that's where your scouting comes into it as
you
well.
You said it before, though, in terms of the right fit in the squad. So you come in, you don't come in and be like, you know, I'm ex-United.
Yeah.
You know, I've done this, I've done that. Yeah, you come in because you want to play for your shirt. And it seems like we've got that now. We've trimmed the shite, like the fat off the meat.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now we've got the meat.
Now we'll have the good bit.
And now we're having a steak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And eventually we'll have the peppercorn sauce.
Keeping on about dessert in the summer and everything.
But, and I'm going off on one there,
yeah,
but it's identifying that. And as you say, Seddo, you can identify a £50 million Mark Ellis, but does Mark Ellis fit into that Everton squad?
Yeah.
Will he bring the right attitude, mentality, everything? And it seems to me that since last May, everyone who's walked through that door at Goodison Park has been for the better of Everton FC, which pleases me most. And I don't know, I'm not saying that's all down to Farhad Moshiri, but that is, looking at this on paper, the things that we've talked about tonight,
but it is
the thing that pleases me most.
It is kind of down to him, because he introduced the infrastructure behind them signings, you know what I mean? So there's not just a manager identifying a player, Martinez identifying Niasse, for example. There's now a clear plan behind every player that joins us, you know.
There's certainly a methodology behind every signing that they're going to make now and in the future.
Yeah.
But for me, as it's a business, you've got to probably think long term as well, because, you know, the likes of probably Garner Gay will have a sell on value.
Yeah,
you know, if it does get to that, I mean, you know, every player has got a price, as Liverpool found out with Suarez, and you know, Ronaldo found out, and Tottenham found out.
No club is immune from good players leaving, are they? You know, it's
absolutely
the way in the football world.
I think that's why Everton are probably looking at these sort of younger type players as well, and thinking to themselves, if we make a little bit of money on him, in the future, if we need to sell. You know, we might not need to sell, you know, but it might get to the point where, you know, a really massive club across Europe, Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Real Madrid, might come in for the likes of Ademola Lookman.
You never know.
You know,
yeah.
You never know.
It's an investment. Again, we have to realise we're being run as a business as well. So, of course, that's going to be part of thinking as well. It's not just to improve the team short term. You know, but you're right, you're absolutely right.
But then at the same time, as with the players that come in, and you know, we go back to Rooney, is the commercial side of it.
Yeah.
You know, how many, we could give Rooney 150 grand a week.
Yeah.
He'll make that back in shirt sales in
no time. But not just that. Fit football fans are always, some fans are extremely fickle, looking for the next club to support and stuff like that. You know, and the amount of new fans you would attract through that, I think, with Rooney signing, just gets us out across the whole world, doesn't it? You know, that a player like that would come back home, still reasonably in his time. You know, he's not at the end of his career. It's not like he's gone to MLS 38.
It makes you think, doesn't it? You know, the players that we have brought in, whether Everton have a checklist. You know,
yeah.
You can imagine them sitting around the board, in the boardroom around the table, and going, okay, so if we get Wayne Rooney in, will he tick box A, which is, will he sell X amount of shirts? Yeah, put a tick in that box. Number two, will he improve our squad? Tick, yeah, that box.
Yeah.
If you get five ticks, we go and buy him.
It's like, this guy's only got four ticks, we're not going to sell a shirt.
Nah.
Leave it. No,
scrap it.
You're absolutely right, though.
But it's interesting that, you know, as we said before, the infrastructure that we've got in the background,
yeah,
whether they all will sort of maybe have an influence in a decision to buy a player,
yeah,
as I say, because of the sell-on value.
If that's part of the thinking, I think possibly it is. You know, we are being run as a business as much as we are a new ambitious football club. You know, it's just
no matter how you want to sugarcoat it, Everton Football Club, along with every other football team in the Premier League and Championship, are a business. It's as simple as that. So as I say, every single player has got to have probably a sell-on value because it's a business. You don't want to make a loss on a player straight away.
No.
You don't want to go and pay 50 million for the League One player, for example, you know, because you know you're not going to recoup that money.
No. So 11 million for Luckman in this market looks extremely shrewd, doesn't it? You know, and a player who's going to improve, and a player
if you think next season, if he pops up with 8 goals and then gets in the England squad,
yeah,
what's 13 million? Do you know what I mean?
Next to nothing.
These are the things that you've got to consider long term, and I think that goes back to what I said before about the long term project. And I know you said about the buzzword, but it is more like that rather than just a slapdash approach to it. And
yeah,
it's like I said before, you know, every player's got to have a sell on value.
Yeah,
you know,
so
it's pointless trying to run a business when you already had a loss.
Yeah,
you know, so you know, I said it before, it's this a gay. He's 100% got a sell-on value now. We bought him for 7-8 million.
Yeah.
What's he worth now?
Yeah.
We've made a profit straight away.
Yeah.
So
that's performances.
That's what the business side of it in the background is what we're looking at.
Yeah.
Before we go and spend all this money.
It's assets, isn't it? What assets you've got, yeah.
And you want your assets to increase in value, not decrease, you know. So
which goes back to you're trimming the squad and you're getting rid of the dead wood because they're not of any value to the club.
No.
Unfortunately, to put it harshly.
But
the likes
that's
of
right.
Brian Oviedo, the likes of Darren Gibson, the likes of Aidan McGeady, the likes of
Conley and stuff, you know.
Exactly.
They're not worth nothing.
You'll trim them down until we get to a point where everything we've got is an asset to have, which makes for a better Everton.
Absolutely, and that's also the business side coming through onto the football side of it, do you know what I mean? Is that we're not interested. If we're not, you know, at worst we're gonna make money on you, you know, but at best we're gonna keep you and you're going to improve us, and we're going to win trophies and stuff. It's trying to get the best of both worlds for Everton. And, you know.
And what about the commercial deals and, you know, the sponsorship? You've got the Goodison makeover. There's an awful lot that he's done or he's been involved in since he's been here, or a lot that we've at least seen in the past, you know, 12 months. And look at the deal that he's got to. Sponsorship
training.
Of the training ground, Finch Farm. Look at the Goodison makeover.
Yeah.
It's a bit of clapping. People have said, why are you doing Goodison up if you're going to move anyway? Well, why not? If you've got the money to spend on it, and it makes it look more attractive,
it's...
and makes it look more appealing, then it should have happened years ago anyway, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
But now we've got the funds and the ideas behind it and the branding behind it, then it all makes sense, and it's embracing... It's embracing the legacy of Goodison Park. Same with the free school. Same with everything else that goes on around L4. When Everton eventually move out of that area, Everton is still trying to do something in terms of the impression and the stamp on that area.
That's right.
Now, I'm not just saying a bit of cladding's going to do that, but they're still trying to make an impression
on where they've always been.
This is, yeah, this is what I was trying to say. It's all about how we're looking to people as well. It's so important to them that we're appearing ambitious.
It's down to business.
You know, yeah, we also want to appear ambitious as much as we are ambitious. So doing a good son is at best sticking a new dress on an old girl, you know, before we hit last hurrah. That's it. But it's all about how we're looking to everybody else right now. And then, you know, it looks fantastic, doesn't it, the ground right now?
Absolutely. I poo-pooed the idea when I first heard it because I thought to myself, the money.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It'd be better spent elsewhere, but you know what? I was totally wrong because you wouldn't turn up to a job interview in a pair of shorts, flip-flops,
no,
and a t-shirt, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the impression that you get when you're walking up to a building. You want to see, you want to think to yourself, now that actually looks good, that.
Yeah.
You know, I want to come back here.
So stop you being wrong about Ross Barkley and you being wrong about the stadium upgrade as well.
I know absolutely not about football.
I thought you were in the know.
Well, next time we go to the toilet, we're going to discuss Sebo's future on the show.
I'm waiting for Farhan Machine to come out and say you're sacked.
I'll tell you what, he knows how to win a bet though, doesn't he?
He's not.
You know, Sedo's tips.
Roll a lesson, yeah. Sedo's tips. 3-1 yeah, Vardy, first man. Goal.
Yeah, sounds
crazy, but, Beth.
Again, it's another massive thing and it's just completed, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, ironically, Alex Young was one of the players who's adorned on the side of the stadium, and rightly so. And something like that is a simple but effective thing, isn't it? You know, we had the Goodison timeline, but now we've took it one further. We've basically, you are papering over the cracks with that, and we all know we're going to move eventually. But, you know, let's be honest, the impression of the club, if you've got businessmen or if you've got potential investors or potential new players or new fans coming to an area, what are they going to do? Are they going to look at stained cladding, rusted cladding? Or are they going to look at Everton FC with all this branding and all these former players?
With all this amazing history that I still say most clubs in that Premier League would give their right arm for, you know, emblazoned all over the club.
At the end of the day, the area is right, and I'll use Liverpool as an example. Yeah. People might not like this, but Anfield and Walton, not the best areas, north Liverpool. I grew up there myself. I know myself what it's like in them areas, what it was like, what it's now like. There's not a lot of difference, if I'm honest. There's things being flattened for different reasons. But when you walk up to Anfield with the main stand, what they've done redeveloped and what they're planning to redevelop, it makes a bit of a difference. I know that's upsetting people in terms of people have had to move out of houses or certain houses are being squashed, but the impression itself, they've decided to remain. Mm. They've decided to remain and do up the main stand. They may potentially do up the Annie Road. Goodison down the hill, have to do something in terms of Everton. Yeah. Have to do something in terms of the impression of what you've got. You've got more and more people coming to Liverpool, the city, not the club. More and more people to the city. So you go there and you see a brand new main stand with all this redevelopment, new gardens, new this, new that, flattened houses, Costa Coffees, hotels, potential.
Yeah.
Then you go down to L4, with all due respect, Goodison Road chippy, stained cladding, not a lot going on, a couple of statues. Yeah, we love that because we're Evertonians and we love the match day experience. But also, it does need a lick of paint, but it needs more than a lick of paint on a concourse and a bit of bleach in the Gladys Street bogs every 12 months. It needs more. It's been given that.
Yeah.
And now, which we'll come to, the plan's there for the moving off site to Bramley Moor.
That's a visual representation of what the board are trying to do. You would have to be now Stevie Wonder level of blindness to not see the ambition behind Everton, and that is spending money, throwing good money after bad, what people might say if we're moving anyway, but they see the value in looking good, you know, as what before we really look good on the docks. We just want to continue that impression that we're on the up. And,
the model, isn't it?
Yeah.
The council are rubbing their hands, aren't they? Let's be honest. The council are absolutely loving this because, one, you're going to see a new stadium, iconic stadium, don't care what anyone says, it's going to be an iconic stadium, on the waterfront. You know, you've got the Three Graces, Liberty Building, you've got everything down the waterfront, picturesque, everyone knows it, right across the world.
Yeah.
And then you've got this iconic stadium.
Yeah.
The council are going to make so much money from people coming in on day trips. And you know, and we take the piss out of Liverpool for all the day trippers, but you know what, right? It's going to make the club money. It'll make the club money, it's going to make the city money. It's going to regenerate the city as a whole.
Yeah.
What I want to see, though, bit of a side issue from the council, is the money that they make from Everton Football Club, from this particular investment and deal, is that the area of Walton isn't neglected.
No.
I sincerely hope Joe Anderson and everyone else plough some money back into the community of Anfield or Walton so it doesn't
suffer.
Yeah. You know, it's suffering now and Everton Football Club are there.
Yeah.
So for the council to put their hands in the pockets and say, the money that we're going to make from this deal, we'll reinvest it into Walton.
Yeah. Absolutely. Spot on, yeah.
One of the most intelligent points probably made tonight, and I completely agree with
totally
that.
Agree.
Do you know what, right, growing up just up the road from, you know, the Verney, remember the Verney? Mm-hmm. Remember Anycomp? Things like that. Now, I'm not just sitting here and going to slag Liverpool FC off. Hicks and Gillette come in with their own ideas and done this and done that. The Verney went. The Verney was it was run down anyway, you know, with all due respect. Anfield Comp wasn't the best. Other schools have been built, other things have been done. But from where my mum lives still now, upwards to Liverpool's ground, there's nothing. It's nothingness. And Stanley Park, such a vast area of nothingness, which is, people were campaigning to keep areas of that park. Well, we've kept the park, but we've done nothing with the area. It means we've taken things away from the residents of Anfield.
Yeah.
And I was a resident of Anfield. And I walked to Goodison when I lived there. And I seen it myself, and I completely agree with that. Because even round Goodison is more built up. There's more businesses almost directly on top of Goodison that rely on Goodison that are just about clinging
Absolutely.
On because of Everton FC.
Yeah.
And County Road will always be a thoroughfare.
Mm.
But a lot of that is because of Everton FC as well. And I'm not talking about the brick and the spello and
the
this
oak.
And that. I'm talking about Oldman Bargains. I'm talking about Matt. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the infrastructure of the whole area. Yeah, and I completely see that, what you're saying. Because it's happened in too many areas in terms of, well, it hasn't happened, but there's not a lack of there's a lack of regeneration in certain areas and a lack of development. But from two areas, we've gone from so much promise and prosperous because of two football clubs, for that to be taken away.
But also,
well, it's not taken away completely in Anfield because Liverpool are regenerating.
Yeah.
But Walton, it would be.
Yeah.
You'd be gone. You'd be city centre.
Which would be a shame because, and also an area that Evertonians hold dear as well. You know, that's the place where they go to match. That's the place where they go on a Saturday. You know, that's an area linked with happiness, you know. Everton haven't always delivered it, but you know, everyone loves going to match, and that's an area that everyone holds dear. I certainly do, you know. And you know, from going to match over the years, County Road, it would be a disgrace, you know, real shame to see it go downhill because we've moved out the area, you know, because that's an area that everyone frequents quite a lot and has a lot of affection for.
So that's a valid point. So if you're listening, Joe Anderson, you better listen to Seddo, like, because he's got some plans for this city.
Yeah. By the way, his tweets over the new ground are not even subtle anymore.
So let's move on then. Mashiri's come in. He's had to have this decision to get rid of Roberto Martinez. He's then appointed Ronald Koeman. He's then appointed Steve Walsh.
Yeah, or
Mashiri and his colleagues have appointed those two people. Yeah. The player signings is something we've already discussed. The commercial deals, the sponsorship of Finch Farm, the Goodison makeover. The stadium is on everyone's lips. It has to be talked about tonight.
Yeah.
Now, but, you know, I'm not an architect. You don't work for the council. You don't work for Everton.
No.
But we still know more than all three of them, don't we? So come on, we're going to have 100%, our say.
We are.
We want that super stadium, at least 70,000.
Yeah.
Trains, planes, automobiles, roads renamed after Alex Young, Dixie Dean.
Yeah.
We want the lot.
Dixie Dean Boulevard.
The most photographed skyline in the world.
Part of it.
Everton's big dirty ground sticking out of that.
And what I want most.
Never mind, I'll have a bill.
No. Everton's new ground. Which, and I want people flying in and going, is that where Liverpool play?
I want people flying onto the pitch.
Yeah. Is that
what the experience is? You fly onto the bench.
I'm sorry to that appear xenophobic with them lot over there, but it would. That's what I would love, for someone to come in and go, steady, that must be where Liverpool steady play. And someone go, no, that's where Everton play.
I said this before. I
talking about people from the Will.
It is.
Fucking Wills.
What I would love on this new ground is like, and I tweeted this, and a lot of people seem to come on board with it, to be honest. And it's like I have a Batman sign in the sky, but the Everton crest.
Yeah.
Just beamed into the sky across the maze. Imagine that.
Imagine that.
Great, wouldn't
just
it?
The big nil satisness, like optimum.
Just the Everton badge in the sky. Been from the grounds on a match day or of a Monday night kickoff. Sky, I'd love that.
Also, are you listening for a hat?
The image of Everton, the image of
we don't want much.
We don't want much, no. But also, you know, the neighbours, we like to keep them in the back. they would, that new stand would appear so insignificant. Sorry to make it about Liverpool, but we have got to appear bigger than that.
But I know we make jokes of it and we're laughing a lot here, and but in all seriousness, that relationship now with Everton FC and the Peel City Council, it couldn't be any stronger.
No.
Think about like the cracks that divided after Walton Park, Walton Hall Park. Everton have ballsed it up so many times about failed projects, right? Hand in hand with the council sometimes, hand in hand with commercial people sometimes, this and that. Think about 12 months, 18 months, 2 years ago. Remember when the tweets came out and it was like a game of cat and mouse over Walton Hall Park.
Yeah.
And Joe Anderson was directly involved. Now, there's a lot of pressure on Joe's shoulders, I'll admit. He's the mayor and whatnot.
Mm.
And he's getting excited. He's an Evertonian and Liverpoolians are a bit like, whoa, what's going on there? But
deliciously.
We have to look at it from the point of view that Everton have rebuilt them steps with the council.
Mm.
Put Liverpool aside. Liverpool have had their fun. Main stand. Jesus Christ.
Christ, I've never had so much fanfare in my entire life.
Listen, the bridges are being built. Now, whether that's Joe, it's not just Joe Anderson. It's all his colleagues as well.
Mm.
The club, the way they're applying themselves as a business, as a model. There's talk of Commonwealth Games. There's talk about the future of Everton, Liverpool as a city.
Yeah.
Liverpool Waters project with Peel down there at the front. It all goes hand in hand, it all ties in nicely. So you can't only be excited about just Everton's plans, but Everton's relationships as well.
Yeah.
And how we're applying ourselves. And what you said before about how you need to be seen about a business model, top to bottom. Every conversation we've had here tonight, it resonates through that. And that goes from how we kick a ball on the pitch to how we apply ourselves in business with the likes of Peel Holdings.
And how we're looking off the pitch to a ground that, you know, it's like you say, it's everything that's going on is pointing to a massively bright future. You totally can't ignore what's going on. You know, it's the equivalent of putting an umbrella to a tsunami. If you're ignoring or if you're playing down what's going on at Everton. We all know it. We've all waited so long for it. We all know what's happening.
Look, it's a matter of time, isn't it?
Yeah, matter of time.
We all know it's going to happen.
There's a wait behind it.
It is literally just the timing of the announcement. That is all someone's waiting for.
Go on, I'll put you on your toes. So when do you think it'll be announced? And brings us on nicely to the poll. about the build of the stadium.
Yeah.
When do you think, if a stadium announcement is going to be made, when do you think it'll be made?
I mean, I think
there's people who claim to be in the know and say it's going to be this and it's going to be that. But as three Evertonians around the table, what do we think?
I think it's got to be soon, because from Joe Anderson's tweet the other day, he said the stadium will be well used by 2022. Yeah. Now it takes, 3 years to build a stadium? So, you know, it's got to be done, I would say, any time this season, really.
We're 17 now. He was 19 maybe is when we'd move in. You know,
I would certainly say
Joe Anderson can barely contain himself. That's what I'm basing this on. And I would think that an announcement would be timed for the end of the season. It's all about momentum. Everything's about looking momentous. You know, momentous. Everything's about gathering momentum. So we do that on the pitch. We stay unbeaten for as long as we can. We finish strongly. Then the stadium gets announced. Then, beside Rooney, then new players get brought in. You know, it's all about...
All right, Mark.
The plan.
I see what you mean.
To keep the snowball going big.
I agree, because what we've got on paper here, since Mashiri come on board, especially, it's landmarks.
Absolutely. It's a snowball effect. They want something that's going to knock a building over, snowball wise, and that's what's going to happen. It's gathering all the time, gathering pace.
Just on this time. On the stadium, then often the question that I sent out.
So there was an interesting question. Said, "Oh, you talk about it," and also there was another question that got put to you, Mark, as well.
Yeah.
Which we'll come to in a minute.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because it's relevant, because it's obviously, you know, without any major balls up, it's going to happen very, very soon. So let's talk about it.
Absolutely.
So the question that I put out on Twitter was, if we built a 65,000-seater stadium, would you want safe standing to be included within the designs of the new stadium?
Yeah.
And we had 769 votes on this.
Wow.
79% of people said yeah, they would want safe standing. Only 21% said no. So it's a straw poll, but for 769 people to take a vote on that, and 79% of them to say they would want safe standing.
It's a huge figure, and that's the first time you just told us about that figure, really.
Massive, isn't it?
Do you know, keep that poll going for as long as you can, and now Twitter only, is it 24 hours?
Yeah.
That's a huge...
Yeah, because I think people have seen what happens in Germany. It's perfectly safe. You know, I know this, it's a deep-rooted feeling within the city of why we shouldn't have it, you know, but I think it would be just a bigger tribute to move on from that and show that it can be done in a safe and perfect way.
Yeah.
And if it can improve atmospheres at grounds, then that's what... Everyone wants a better match day experience, you know? I certainly do. And if that would improve it, then...
Absolutely. First and foremost, it's got to be safe. First and foremost, no matter what... Any questions you throw out there, it's got to be safe for the fans. Simple as that. Secondly, would it improve the capacity to more than 65,000? Because you're standing, you could probably fit a couple more people in there. Would it push the capacity up towards 70? And that's what someone said on Twitter to me before. You know, I think it was Croxy EFC.
Yeah.
So people will stand regardless. Might as well make the sections as safe as possible. It's possibly dangerous now, which he's got a point.
Well,
without the safe standing,
he has got a point. Yeah. And to be honest, when you're in the Gladys Street, the middle section, you may call themselves the singing section, which is good in my opinion. I like singing at the match.
Yeah, I do.
But I sit on the right at the Gladys Street, where it's not always popular to sit up and stand up and sing.
Yeah.
It's a sensitive subject. Let's not beat around the bush, lads.
No,
you shouldn't even be talking about it because of what's happened in the past.
Yeah.
But let's be man about it and let's be adult about it.
Yeah.
And be like, no, actually, we're talking about building a new stadium. There's other people and other clubs who've got safe standard sections, so we're going to raise it We know the fact that, you know, this is being raised at a higher level by the Football Supporters Federation and whatnot, but we're three lads talking about it at Everton Stadium potentially with X amount of look how crammed we are in Goodison, 41,000. let's look at it and think.
Have you been in the toilet in the Gladys Street?
Jeez. Oh, no, in the
there
upper
is no
Gladys,
safe standing in Lembos.
In the upper Gladys, where I sit, I feel like Alice in Wonderland trying to get through that last door, to be honest, half the time.
What you said there, said, oh, well, safety's first. Of course it is. Mm. It's 2017 now. In my opinion, if we can't arrange safe standing at a football match in 2017, yeah, we're never going to be able to do it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's all I'm going to say on the matter.
The technology is there. There's no, you know, the ticket system getting into grounds now. It's all set up. There's, you know, I think it's a sensitive subject in City, and rightly so. But I think we've also got to look to move on from, you know, we're all sitting squashed up against everybody's knees now. It's not... doesn't scream safety now,
I've
to be honest.
Next to you, lad.
You've sat next to me at the match.
Sat
you
on
don't
your knee.
Score. I've needed hugging a few times.
I don't know what Everton health and safety official signed that seat off.
But you know, well, it's,
basically
it doesn't scream
a
safe now.
Plastic blue chair up my ass.
But I think if it's going to better us and better the atmosphere, then why not?
I think if you're asked all the Premier League teams, I think they'd all vote in favour of.
But that's the thing, though. A football supporters' association is going to take it at the Premier League, and no one wants to take it on because it's such
the responsibility of it. Yeah.
At the end of the day, lads, we're
which
sitting around
enough.
The table talking about it.
Yeah.
There is other people doing things at higher levels which make the decisions, which is fair enough. Yeah. But we're giving our opinions, and at the end of the day,
personally, for me, I'd love to see it. I would love to see.
Yeah.
We're all match goers, aren't we?
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
We're talking about a future for Everton, which is the priority, but. We're talking about stadiums and it's safe and it's doable, then why not?
Yeah.
And we want an atmosphere that's associated with a match day rather than a library, you know? With this, you want the atmosphere, you want the experience of going to a Premier League match, pay enough money for it, you know, to get the most out of it by being part of a really good atmosphere.
Just a question on the project, on the stadium project then. Just off that sort of subject of safe standard. Put a tweet out the other day about what would you rather do. Would you rather name the stands after former players who have passed?
Yeah.
You know, Everton legends, Howard Kendall, for example.
Yeah.
Or, obviously, keeping in mind with the business theme, would you rather sell the name and rights of each stand to external companies? What would your thoughts be on it?
In my opinion, the way it is now, they'd sell that name and right. They'd sell the name and rights to the stadium. They would.
Yeah.
There's no way that we ever fans would have a say. But we'd have a say on the stands.
Mm.
And when they renamed the Gladys Street about Howard Kendall Gladys Street, I'm fully behind all that. I love all that.
Yeah,
I absolutely adore
it,
all that.
Great on your season
I think
ticket
it's great.
As well.
Yeah,
you know,
I joked about naming every road in the city after Everton legends.
I think that should be a given.
Piss the cop bites off. But stadium would be, let's call it corporate, let's call it advertising. The stands, Everton legends.
Mm.
The station, the airport.
The
airport.
The seaport. The riverport.
The lot.
The hoverport.
Yeah.
Well, we call that, you know, the Tim Cahill hoverport. I don't know. I'm joking. He's not a legend. Before anyone starts, you just name it after, like, I don't know. You'd have to accept the fact that, though, if they're going to build a stadium there, that there's going to be some sort of, let's say, for argument's sake, the Chang Arena. It's never going to be the Chang Arena, but you're going to have to admit the fact that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's going to be elements to it where we keep our history, you know.
But we're also a business.
All of a sudden, we rename the Dock Road County Road. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah,
even saying that, like all roads leading to that new ground, in my opinion, should be named after
legends
of the club.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. Stuff like that would be brilliant.
Yeah.
Latchford Terrace.
Right. Question for you then, Lee McDonald. Asked this one before, didn't he? If we built a 65,000 seater stadium, would we fill it? The Copites would love this if they're listening.
They would, but they can't fill their own ground. So
well, let's keep your opinions to yourself. Come on. Would we fill that stadium? Your honest opinion.
I think instantly no, because we're not going to gather that much momentum where we're going to attract newer fans to the club. It's going to take years of sustained success Man City wise to get new fans in. So I think instantly no, but I think the new ground itself would attract maybe 5,000-6,000 more on top of what we have now. So I think we'd fill maybe 90% of that ground. I think it'd be very difficult to fill 65,000 Evertonians. You're gonna need a league title or for new fans to come in, because unfortunately a lot of fans are fickle. They're not all like us. We've been supporting them no matter what for God knows how long. I think that's the reality of it.
I was just laughing to myself thinking 65,000 Evertonians, Ross Barkley will throw himself in the fucking Mersey.
As long as they renamed the Mersey the Latchford or whatever.
He'd be fucking swimming in the Irish Sea, that lad.
65,000, if we introduce the white hankies that they have in Spain, he's gone.
Right, Seddo, can we fill it?
I tend to agree with Mark, to be honest. I think initially probably not. I think probably the most sensiblest thing to do, because we've got that much space within that Docklands area.
Yeah.
Is build a 50,000-55,000 seater stadium with, on the proviso that you can extend to 65,000-70,000.
Yeah.
You know, the more success that could potentially come to the club.
Yeah.
I think we'd be stupid to go straight in 65,000 straight away. I think we'd be daft. I think what I think we should be doing is building 50,000-55,000 and then growing the attendance from there.
So you build a stadium and then you expand, like other clubs have done, haven't they?
It's like you buy a house, and you know what you do with a house, you might put an extension on the back of it if you haven't already got one. It's all about growth and developing, because what we don't want to do again as a business is outgrow ourselves before we've even grew, if you know what I mean. So for me, I think we should be looking at 50,000-55,000 and then extend
as a respectable figure.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at it though, lads, we're selling out, aren't we, at home? As Mark said there about the city centre, it's kind of lure of it. You'd think, well, there's 50k and anything else is a bonus. But then I agree with what you're saying there. Realistic, it's like everyone wants a 100,000 seat stadium on the docks and in the Mersey, don't they, and infrastructure that. But you have to have the brand with it, and that's what we've talked about this all night and said about signing this player or doing this off the field or bringing this person in or having this sort of attitude. It's the business model which will only direct the future goal, isn't it?
And whether Evertonians like it or not, within the coming years, we will be a tourist attraction. We will be like Liverpool. Simple as that. And I don't care what anyone says. Evertonians might say, "Fucking hell, you're talking about your ass," but it's true. You know, the more success you get, the more people are going to come in from, you know, from Ireland or, you know, further afield, Spain, Germany. You know, you're going to get the day trippers coming in to come and see this new ground. And that's where the expansion then comes in. So for the first year, 2 years, you're going to have the core of Evertonians, local Evertonians, go on the ground and film it out every week. As I say, 50,000-55,000. The more success that gets built, then you get people from afar turning around and going, "Oh, I'd go and spend the day in Liverpool and, you know, go and watch Everton in their big fancy new stadium. I might do that." And then they go back to their homelands and tell the next person who thinks, "Oh, I might go there." Next thing you've got more people coming over. So that's where the growth and expansion will probably come in the next 5, 6, 7 years.
And it's more what's the word? Like, when you come to Liverpool City Centre, it's more on your toes kind of thing than travelling out. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to say, I'm not saying we're going to take over and have selfie sticks in the Bond Street.
Yeah. iPads the lot.
Yeah, all that. But I completely see what you mean in terms of a model. That's how it has to be. But it's exciting. There's an awful lot that we've just covered there, and that's only a percentage of it, to be honest, lads.
Yeah.
The stadium thing issue was one that someone tweeted, you say, "Can we fill the stadium?" Safe standing was another one. Is it going to fucking happen in the first place is another issue.
Yeah.
Joe Anderson, I don't know whether he just gets home and gets on the red wine and starts tweeting us just to flirt with us. I'm going to knock on his house because he lives right by me.
The truth comes out though when you're pissed.
Joe, if you're listening to this, lad, only live off Derby Lane. I'm not being funny. We'll get a Chinese, we'll have a few bevvies. You can tell me what you want. I promise I won't say anything.
No, even better, get him on the podcast.
Well, yeah,
get him to come on. I'll buy you a few pints, Joe. Don't worry.
Come on, Joe.
Nah, I'm not a flirt, but Joe, you know where I am. But the stadium project's there. The commercial deals are there. The player signings we've already discussed. Martinez, Sachin, Koeman and Walsh being appointed.
Yeah.
An interesting one with Farhad Moshiri is his relationship with Jim White.
Yeah, not soft.
What's your views on that?
Well, Jim White represents one of, I think, whether we like him or not, and a lot of people hate him, and that's fair to use. But he represents the forefront of Sky Sports news, and there's absolutely no coincidence in the fact that Moshiri has befriended someone with that amount of pull, if you like, you know, in the media. You know, Everton, he knows Everton need to be more recognised, need to be out there more, need to be in people's faces more. And, you know, Moshiri makes friends for reasons, I'm guessing, and I think this is one of them. Jim White's lucky to be... probably can't believe his luck that he's in the loop that much with what's going on at Everton, but Moshiri's using, I think it's they're using him for his own ends, you know. Moshiri's using Jim White to get Everton out there, simple as that.
So is it a case of he's just turned his back on the local press and thinks
or
he just wants more of a voice?
I just think he wants the brands of Everton, USM Finch Farm, you know, the big thing that he's done with Sky Sports over the past couple of days.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wants the Everton brands out there. He wants to get it across the UK, across Europe and across the world. You know, and again, we come back to the business side of it. That is how you grow your business. Simple as that. Yeah. The more money that comes into the club, the more money you've got to spend.
Yeah.
You know.
That's on, yeah.
So,
and that's another means to get to that, isn't it? You know, by using Jim White, you know. Yeah, I think it's all good. I think if it was someone else being Sky Sports, you know, the main icon, if you like, of that channel, and that's the main broadcaster what people watch for sports, then you know, for sports news and stuff.
Well, did you watch yesterday's interviews about, you know, Carragher was there, obviously Carragher got interviewed, there was Lukaku got interviewed, Koeman got interviewed twice, Unsworth, you know, Denise Baxendale of Everton Community, she's on the board, in fact, Elstone was there.
But have you noticed all the interviews were with the figureheads of Everton Football Club?
Yeah.
Heads of departments.
Or the fat heads in terms of Elstone.
Oh, yeah.
Tanned heads.
You know, all the fat cats were there, you know, given their side of things. Or, you know, Everton legends, you know, given their points of view. The manager, given his points of view. Lukaku, on the telly.
The key player.
Carragher, a new arsehole, you know.
But Moshiri, nowhere to be seen.
Exactly.
Exactly. Like the puppet master, but not like a Ken Wright puppet master. This is a good puppet master. Pulling the strings.
It's just...
Sorry, yeah.
From, again, it, you know, we all know it's been a year since Moshiri bought his significant shares in Everton. You can't say takeover. Unfortunately, a lot of football fans go, well, Everton have been took over. They haven't.
No.
Bill Kenwright, John Woods, amongst others, are still there with the large proportion of control of the club, which is fair enough for now. Moshiri's come in though with new ideas, new ambition, and we've talked about all of them tonight. So I think we're all in agreement that we're going places.
Yeah,
and it's a good model to have. We obviously done a separate podcast about progression on the pitch. Koeman's there with his ideas and his, you know, his not a revolution, but his involvement of the Everton squad. And then off the pitch, you've got the business model from top to bottom, which we've all just talked about for the past hour. So there's a lot to be excited about, really, isn't there?
Totally, because for the first time, it's not all talk. There's absolute clear evidence of what we're saying is true. You know, is the momentum slowly gathering behind Everton by what we're doing? Sponsorship deals, new stadiums, getting rid of shite players, building the squad with youth and quality signings. You know, you're gonna have to be stupid to not see what's going on, and it's only gonna get better.
The good thing is we're using the sponsorship to our own advantage because we're using his connections already with the likes of Usmanov and, you know, USMH Farm. Straight away we've got a sponsorship deal there worth millions. You know,
basically sponsoring ourselves.
Effectively,
the way big clubs get round. See, this is what I mean. We're acting like a big club, trying to get round financial fair play. This is not something that we're used to. This is selling Rooney and giving Moyes £3 million. That's what we're used to. We're not used to acting this way as a club, and that's why we've got to be excited. We're doing these things for a reason.
That's brilliant. You started it on a good point, and he's ended it on a big point, hasn't he? He actually speaks a lot of sense when you get him in a pub.
About 4.5.
But no, there's been an awful lot that has happened over the past 12 months. Hopefully we've tried to cover everything. I'm sure we have.
Yeah.
The stadium is the next thing. Hopefully we'll just get Joe Anderson round to ours in the Swan and have a few wines.
Yeah.
But let's hope in the next 12 months that we're back in the same place talking about what we were talking about tonight.
About some confirmed developments as well,
Yeah, 100%. I hope so. More of the same. A new stadium, you know, better players in the squad.
And looking up in the table.
Yeah, and getting past the fourth round of the League Cup.
So it's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Talking about it. Thanks very much, Farhad. Your hard work starts here.
I'm feeling euphoric.
I know you're not. I can tell. Are you all right?
No, yeah. I'm fucking great, Michael.
I'm feeling. Nothing to do with the Irish girl coming down tomorrow. I had to say it.
Right, before we get off, get the candles out. Good to speak to you, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Take it easy.
Bring it to a close. Good night.
Take care. Boys. Bye.